at your own pace. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info for the staff to reach out to you. Also, Conservative Theological University is offering free your first introductory online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you so much for joining us today on this broadcast. We're talking about a subject that is a biblical, theological, doctrinal subject that I believe we all should understand, recognize, and find the application for it, and recognize the need for people to really understand what is biblical salvation. In the seventh chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel, the Lord Jesus, chapter 5, 6, and 7, is the Sermon on the Mount. He's wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount here in this text, in the 7th chapter, the 13th through the 23rd verse. And that verse 23, let me read it again to kick us off in this portion of the broadcast. And then I will, Jesus speaking, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Who's he speaking to? He said to them. Them who? We'll talk about that in a moment. What does it mean, depart from me? He put it in the Youngblood vernacular, get out of my face. You know, I never knew you. What does it mean? I never knew you. We'll talk about that in a moment. But we have Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps around the table here with us. And we're talking about this very important theological doctrinal subject. And Jesus starts out in that 13th and 14th verse, pointing out the two choices that's available. The two ways that are available. And that's the narrow gate. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. That means narrow, confining, restrictive, requires discipline, direction as we enter into that gate. It's the few, he says, that enter therein. Dr. Phelps, that I just enjoy the word study so much in this text. The word few there, we get our word minuscule. Explain to our listeners what Jesus is saying, that a minuscule number of people enter into by the straight gate. What is he saying?
Well, there are only a few, meaning that only those who enter by the straight gate, not the broad way. And those few, we believe, as we read the scriptures, especially the New Testament, are those who enter by the door, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We can only enter into God's presence and have hope for heaven and life with the Lord hereafter if we go God's way of salvation, and that always includes the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many today have this desire to enter into heaven. They want to go to heaven, but they ignore the way. Mm-hmm. For Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Mm-hmm. And I believe we can understand from that passage that he's the only way for us to be saved.
That's right.
We must be in a right relationship with Jesus Christ and know Him as our personal Savior.
Absolutely. And Dr. Davis, when the Jesus says in that same text, enter ye in at the straight gate, which is narrow, restricted, requires things to be done that is obedient to the Word. And that word minuscule, it means few. But then in the contrast to that that Jesus gives is the wide gate. The wide gate. And He says there, and broad is the way. The wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Let me just set the stage, Dr. Davis, and let you respond. There are a lot of people today that have entered the wide gate. And with the wide gate, Jesus says, many, and we got our word megas, megas, as country boy may say, buckets full of people. So explain, talk to us about that for a moment, Dr. Davis, that we have a whole lot of folks today that think they're saved, claim they're saved, believe they're saved, they're just lost as a green ball in high weeds. What do we do about that? Do we continue to allow? There are a lot of people today, a lot of preachers today, a lot of denominations today, say, well, I don't care what you believe, just come. In fact, a number of years ago, I had a man that said the church that he was a member of, a huge church in this city, he said the pastor told him privately, I don't care what you believe, I don't care what you think, I don't care how you interpret the scripture, just keep coming and paying your tithes. It's not laughable, but I'm laughing at it because it's so sad. Amen. Talk to us about that for our listeners to understand that it's not a matter of denominational dogma, it's not a matter of rules and regulations, not a matter of the Ten Commandments, all of these things that people say that's needed. I've said for less than 100 years, I believe there are more people think they're saved than really saved. So talk about that for a moment for our listeners. Why is it important for us to recognize the two gates, the two ways?
Well, I could never forget what my pastor told me. He's in heaven today, Bishop Van Bell Milton. He used to say that the downward road is crowded, but the road that leads to life, every now and then you'll find a traveler.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look at this wide way, it's wide, it's broad, and it's easy. Can I say, can I throw this word in there too?
That's right.
It's fluid.
Mm-hmm.
That means when you get in that way, you can do anything you want to and still claim to be a Christian.
Well said, yes.
Now, in the narrow way, I have to believe only the true believers travel in that way. And even though it might be confining, let me say that the Word of God doesn't bind you down, but it confines you. Let me say this too. It keeps you walking in the right way. The older saints used to say it's tight, but it's right. Any kind of way you want to look at it, it might be tight, but it's still right. Now, this wide way, getting back to what I said earlier, is the way that people walk in who want to hide the unrighteousness and the ways that they are living that's connected to the world and still claim righteousness through Jesus Christ. Now let me read something to you here from the book of Acts chapter 13. Here's what the apostle Paul had to say to some of those he was preaching to at Jerusalem and the other rulers, because they were still willing to be ruled and governed by the law of Moses. He said, Acts 13, verse 38 and 39, he said, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, talking about Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
So once again now, we're hitting the nail still yet on the head, because people in the wide, in the broad way, are willing to be ruled by the law, which is man-made today, and so many other things are inserted into that in order to make their lifestyles comfortable. So that's where they come up with this woke Christianity and this woke culture today. So it makes them comfortable with what with the way that they're living.
Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head, because in this wide way that multitudes go in and still believe they're all right, still believe they're safe, still believe they're going to heaven, they want to embrace the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. They want to embrace the DEI. They want to embrace the all of the cultural things today. I'm looking at an article that was just sent to me, and it says, Left-Wing Foundation bankroll push to bring the Quran into American churches.
My, my.
Here's what it says. A Chicago-based interfaith group is pushing churches to read the Quran from their pulpits and to confront what is called Islamophobia in the churches. Now, that's part of what we're talking about. That's part of what we've, there's a mindset today that we can embrace culture, we can embrace the world, we can embrace the philosophies of the world. It's what Franklin Graham called progressive Christianity. And we can embrace all of that and still say, oh, how I love Jesus on Sunday. I watched one of the anchors on Fox Fox and Friends this morning, the lady that's on the trilogy that's on the curvy couch there. And they were talking about, I've forgotten some interview that they were making with, I think it was a mother and a lady and another lady that was with her. And they're pushing to get the happy hour in the nursing homes, because the lady said that even though they were in a nursing home, they wanted to be able to have a drink or two and have a happy hour. And Ainsley said then she was just rejoicing. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that could, and she claims to be saved. The mindset is that we can have a happy hour, we can drink all the Bud, Dimmer, and Miller Lowlife we want, and somehow, some way, that's the wide gate. That's the way that leads to destruction, Jesus is warning here in the text. And yet there are multitudes that think that because I'm saved, or think that I'm saved, I can do the 10 Hail Mary, I can do the Rosary Beads, I can do the Bud, Dimmer, and Miller Lowlife, and I'm still okay. That's the broad way that Jesus says leads to destruction.
Well, if you consider Dr. Youngblood, and I think I heard you speak about this on the program, might have been yesterday or the day before, about the city council here in Jacksonville doesn't want prayer, not city council, I'm sorry, school board. Doesn't want prayer before the school board meetings.
Well, they want it. The school board wants it, but you've got the atheist organizations that's pushing against it.
That's really what I meant to say right there. I know it was a controversy some kind of way with school board. I'm sorry, school board, if you hear me. Amen. I'm sorry about that. I apologize. Amen. Not you. Amen. Mm-hmm. But the others that were against you.
Yes.
Amen. That you want prayer. You believe in God. You know that we need God in the school system, but there are others that's not. So that's kind of that's
the way we've got a Christian lady that's the chair of the school board. That when she became chairman last October, I think it was in November, she started reinstituting allowing prayer before the meetings through school board meetings. You got two atheist groups that have filed sent a notice now that they're going to file suit if that continues. My position is for our school board and for our listeners to call the school board, write to the school board, email, text them, and say please, please, please continue to have the prayer. The invocation before each of your meetings. Well, and Liberty Council has already said to the school board, if they sue you, we will defend you pro bono, no charge. And so I believe that's necessary. That's taking, if you please, even in a narrow sense, that's taking the narrow gate, believing that this is the way that God would have us to go and not flowing with what is called the wide gate. Dr. Phelps, I'm looking at verse 15 through 20 in this unit of thought, and we could get bogged down for the next 2 hours just on verse 13 and 14, but I want us to move on to get to the main point of this exegetical unit. But the serious caution that's given in verse 15 through 20, and without rereading it, we read it a moment ago, this goes on to, Jesus goes on to caution the false teachers that are available. These that are the deceivers of the people, causing the people to be that somehow, some way, they're okay going into the wide gate. I simply say, verse 15 is talking about these false teachers are, number one, deceptive. What does it mean when Jesus warns them about the deceptive teachers? How does that interlock? How does that interface with verse 13 and 14, the narrow gate and the broad way?
Well, the false prophets are growing in numbers today.
Mm-hmm.
False prophets are those who speak as though they were the true shepherds of the flock. Those who speak the truth are those who are really sent by God, called of God. We have a big crowd of those who are false prophets out there today. And these false prophets would lead us into the wide gate.
Absolutely.
They're leading us away from the straight gate into the wide gate. And that means to destruction. That means a terrible end, because there is eternal separation waiting for those who go that way. I believe that we need to listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 8. He says, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish.
Absolutely.
And there needs to be a repentance. And I'd like to speak to that when I have the opportunity.
Super,
to do
we'll
that.
Do that. I'm looking at that 15th verse, beware. That's a caution that Jesus gives. Beware of false prophets, that pseudo, not real, prophets, false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. That is, they look like Christians, they talk like Christians, they are dressed like Christians, and but yet they're false. And it reminds me of one that's called Stephen Furtick. Stephen Furtick. You turn on television and he has looks like 100 million people in the audience. I mean, I'm using that philosophically. Yet he has just been chastised and chastened publicly by other pastors because he's teaching false doctrine. He says that because the Bible says we're created in the image of God, that we're all like God, we're good little gods. That's the cult of Mormonism that he's teaching there, that we're all little gods. We're all divine beings because we're created in the image of God. That's a false teacher, but he supposedly comes across as a Christian. It is supposedly a Southern Baptist church, and multitudes are not aware of that, because these false teachers today are taking denominational name tags off, so you will not know what's behind the door. I've said for many years, if you travel across the nation and you're hungry, you see the golden arches, you know what's served there. But if you don't have the golden arches and just says Ajax hamburger, you don't know what they've got there. But you know what's behind the golden arches if you're traveling. We need to know what's behind the doorway of the churches that people are entering into today. Multitudes are teaching false gospel, false theology. They're false teachers. And I say that they look like believers, they talk like believers, but are lost. That's what Jesus is warning us of. So I believe that we need to recognize that is the danger. Jesus says there is ravening wolves. That literally means they're dangerous, deadly in their deception. It will destroy. Dr. Davis, if Jesus says they're deceptive, if they're dressed like sheep, they look like sheep, they look like believers, they talk like believers, but Jesus says they're deadly, they're like ravening wolves, what does it mean that they're deadly? If a person listens to a false teacher, embraces the false teaching, embraces the false doctrine, what does that do?
Well, you have to understand, I mean, listening to these people and following their teachings and their so-called beliefs can really put your soul in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Your salvation. I mean, basically, you have to understand they're not, their teachings and the thing that they're doing are not based upon the true word of God, because they have their own agenda set aside from the word.
That's the goal. That's it.
So, guess what now? You will not be misled or deceived if you are a true believer filled with the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And he's going to lead you, according to John chapter 16, mm-hmm. into all truth. So therefore, if you are led by that Spirit, when you are confronted by these people, the Holy Spirit will immediately, according to the book of Isaiah also, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Holy Spirit will lift up a standard against him so that you won't be deceived or defeated.
Absolutely.
So that's what we have to do.
So Dr. Phelps, in that unit of thought, beginning with verse 16 through about verse 20, it talks about you shall know them by the fruit. Explain that to our listeners, and what part does it play for, you touched on it earlier, about repentance. Talk about the fruit and about repentance.
Well, the fruit he's talking about here, we might should understand that it means their lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
the way they conduct themselves according to the Scriptures. And so when we talk about looking at a false prophet, then just look at what he's doing. Look at his affiliation or his relationship to the Lord as well. So we need to be able to discern whether or not people are telling you the truth, and that's based on their lifestyle. Lifestyle is so important in our society today. Person must have a credible witness, credible lifestyle, if he's believable. Mm-hmm. Same is true in a court of law. Some people are not credible witnesses, and that doesn't count in a court of law unless they're reliable witnesses.
Let me touch, while you're there, let me jump in with this and then let you finish. In Luke's gospel, we find in the sixth chapter, about verse 43 and following, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns of men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bushes gather they grapes. A good man out of good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil."
Amen.
"For of the abundance of the man, the heart, the mouth speaketh." Verse 46. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Talk about that for a moment.
Well, I think he's telling us that there needs to be an obedience to the truth of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Many people simply ignore the scriptures, ignore the teachings that Jesus gave when he was here, and of all the scriptures, Old Testament likewise. God has a standard for his people.
Amen.
And we believe that whenever a person violates the word of God, he's not a reliable witness. He may not even be saved.
That's it. And that's what Jesus is pointing out, I believe, to the disciples here, or to the listener for today, and for the one that's the ardent believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's pointing out here that a good tree brings forth good fruit, corrupt tree, bad tree, brings forth evil, wicked fruit. In fact, Galatians 5:19 and following talks about the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh, and the fruit of the Spirit is totally contrary to the fruit of the flesh. But Jesus is saying here these false teachers are deceptive. They look like believers. They talk like believers. They're deadly. They're ravening wolves. They're decaying. They produce evil, worthless, good-for-nothing fruit, which is the indication of whether or not it's of God.
Amen.
And I believe that if there's anything in all of the Bible that's applicable today that our listeners and others need to understand and embrace, is to recognize a false teacher and what is produced as a result of it. A false teacher cannot produce good fruit. A false teacher cannot produce that which is honorable. That word good is that which is honorable and recognized as good before the Lord. But the key that I want us to wrap up with in the next few minutes is the verse 20 and following. "Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." That's the character and the conduct. But in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Jesus speaking, and is referring back to that which I just read in Luke, the sixth chapter. And in verse 22 and 23, we'll talk about this. "Many," megas, "multitudes will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord," that word is kurios, owner, master, controller, "have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I, never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Dr. Davis, I don't know of any more difficult words, powerful warning, sad words that we could find any place in the human vocabulary than where Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So in verse 21, there's the challenge. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord." That's a challenge. If a person says, "I believe in God, I call Jesus Lord," the word Lord means owner, master, controller. If that is the case, can a person go the broad way if he's confessing Jesus Christ truly as Lord? Or is do we have enough flexibility, if you call it that, in the vernacular today, that we can call him Lord and still do what we want to do? Is that possible?
Well, I mean, you won't find that anywhere in Scripture.
That's right.
Because we have to understand, Dr. Youngblood, in order to be a Christian, it commands living a disciplined life. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of people can't make it. They're not willing to be disciplined. And when you look at this woke culture today and this woke Christianity, they refuse to be ruled and governed by thou shalt not.
That's right.
Because the Bible says thou shalt not, they feel like, I don't want to be governed by that because I feel like I should have the freedom to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. You can't do that in well God's name.
It's got to be his way, not our way.
It's only his way. But again, it's tight, but it's right. It's the right way. It's going to lead you into life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.
So why would you want to go in the broad way and not be sure about your salvation? You're questioning every day whether you are saved or not. Why would you want to go in that way and not be ruled and governed by the word of God?
Good statement. Dr. Phelps, I'll toss it to you. These that are speaking, Lord, Lord, have we not done? Lord, hadn't we preached great message in your name? Hadn't we had great crowds in your name? Hadn't we had great choirs in your name? Hadn't we had great evangelistic crusades in your name? But Jesus says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. I've got a marginal note here that says, they're religious but lost.
That's it.
They're rebellious, not repentant. About that.
A lot of people are religious, as you just said, but they are not right with God. Mm-hmm. They're religious, but they're not doing what God tells them, what God wants them to do.
Correct.
They are pretending, and I think it all goes back to a lack of repentance.
Speak on that.
Lack of repentance. In 1 Thessalonians 1:9, the Apostle Paul commanded the members to, or commended, rather, he spoke well of the members at Thessalonica, are turning to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Many people have not done the works of repentance. And that goes for a lot of people, even in our local churches today. You see, repent means more than just turning from something. You can turn from being a bank robber to something else that's not right, according to law, and you still not be right with God. See, we need a true repentance, to turning to God from whatever you're going, from whatever direction you have, and then you'll be on the right way.
Turning to Him. And ladies and gentlemen, I say in a wrap-up thought on this, these that said, Lord, Lord, have we not done great works in your name? And Jesus is pointing out they're religious, they're rebellious, but they have not repented and said yes to him. Jesus' recognition is, I never knew you. That is, I never had a personal first-hand experiential relationship with you. That is pointing out the fact, ladies and gentlemen, he's speaking to the lost person that's doing religious work that's never been saved. I never knew you. And he's pointing out that their good works was iniquity. Ye that do iniquity. So, ladies and gentlemen, finally the thought is, it's a choice that needs to be made. Your choice today determines your destiny throughout all of eternity. The narrow way, the difficult way, or the broad way that leads to destruction. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 120